The views and opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of Overseas Radio Network, the Expat Broadcasting Group, the staff, management, or broadcast partners. All information provided is for educational purposes only. Before taking action, consult a licensed professional.
Bonjour, and welcome to Girl's Guide to Paris, the show for travelers, Francophiles, and expat wannabes. With your host, Madame Donnie Bilot, Paris and France expert and founder of the website girlsguidetoparis.com. And now, your host, Donnie Bilot.
Welcome back, mes amis. This is A Girl's Guide to Paris on the radio with Donnie Bilot on the Overseas Radio Network. I'm excited today. I've got my friend Monique Wells on. I know her from her company Discover Paris, which is a fantastic tour company. She is an expert on black history in Paris, and we'd like to pick her brain about that. In addition to that, she wears a number of hats. She's a veterinary pathologist and toxicologist with a consultancy in preclinical safety assessment. Now, that sounds very complicated and something that's way beyond me. She's also a certified success coach who helps women solo entrepreneurs who work from home and get overwhelmed. Hello, I can recognize myself there. She figures out how to help them enjoy less stress, more income, greater job satisfaction. So maybe we should talk to you about that too. But Monique has lived in Paris for almost 20 years. So we've got a lot to talk to Monique about. Monique, how are you doing today?
I am doing terrific. How are you?
Very good. It's great to talk to you. How is the weather today in Paris?
Today, the weather is typical. It is cloudy. It is a bit cold. It's not as cold as it normally is at this time of the year, though, but it was a pretty gray day today. So you are a bright spot in my day.
Yes. Well, you are a bright spot in our day. Tell us a little bit about how you ended up in Paris some almost 20 years ago.
Well, as you mentioned in my intro, I am a veterinary pathologist and toxicologist, and I came here originally to work for a drug company, which at the time was called Rhône-Poulenc-Rohrer, and now is called Sanofi Aventis. And they hired me to come and work in their drug safety division, and I happily accepted that position. It took me 2 years, actually, to find a position in Paris, and I was just thrilled to be able to come and work at this company that brought me here, brought my husband here too, and set us up here.
So did you set out then to get a job in Paris, and it was that the goal then?
It was. Well, it was actually my goal to move to a French-speaking country. I really had my heart set on Paris, but knowing that what I do is it's a very small profession, and mm-hmm. there aren't that many people hiring. So I was ready to move to almost any place that would have allowed me to have French as the national language. I was offered a job in Quebec, Canada, but I declined that one because it was simply too cold there.
I understand that, and I'm sure our Canadian friends can relate to that too.
Yeah. But I would have gone to Switzerland, for example. I would have done a lot of things, but Paris presented itself to me, and so I jumped at the chance.
And it's never let you go. And your husband got a job as well through the same company or something else?
No, actually, he was brought over with me,
right.
You know, because we weren't actually married, but we were in the same household. And he did get an internship at the company eventually, but that didn't work out so well. And anyway, he ended up founding Discover Paris, which is the company that we're going to be talking about today.
Yes, I'm very excited. So did you find, I mean, think back 20 years ago, how was that transition? Was that difficult?
It was and it wasn't. I mean, it was very easy compared to the transition for most people because we did have a company behind us.
Right.
And they arranged for, you know, the shipping and all of that. And for work papers, for me anyway, not for my husband, but for me, I got my work papers, so I didn't have those types of issues. But it was difficult in the sense that even though both Tom and I, my husband's name is Tom, both of us had studied French for many, many years. We met through the Alliance Française. We were active in, you know, practicing French on a weekly basis in the United States. We were not prepared for the difficulties that we would have in understanding people speaking in stores and, you know, just on the street, and also all of the administrative things that we had to go through. When you get a new apartment, you've got to get the gas turned on and the lights turned on, and you got to do this, that, and the other. And just the way that French people think is so different than the way Americans think.
Give us an example of that. Can you give us a little example of what you mean by that?
Sure. And it's a very sort of mundane thing. When you have to fill out a form, or at least then, I haven't filled out many forms recently, but when we moved here, when you filled out a form, you know how you'll have multiple choices, and Americans are used to circling the correct choice.
Mm-hmm.
When I moved to Paris, you have to strike out all the wrong choices.
Now, I did not know that.
Yes.
Yeah, that is definitely different.
Yes, isn't it? And so that just goes to show you that the simplest things, the things that we take for granted, you couldn't take for granted anymore. And so every day you were out there, you were trying to do things you thought were simple, and you get hit in the face with, my God, you know, people are looking at you like you're from Mars. And you don't know why. And it just takes a certain amount of time to figure all of those little things out. And
yeah,
it's the little things that really wear you down.
Yeah. Yeah. And how long do you feel that took you before you started feeling like less of a fish out of water?
Well, I guess, you know, after we got all of our administrative stuff settled and we were in our first apartment, we weren't faced with that so much anymore. But I would say from that point on, there were still little things that would come up. And it was a good 6 to 8 months before we really felt like, you know, we're not waking up and struggling.
Right, right. Yeah. 6 months makes sense. And then it's a continuing process for as long as you're there, don't you feel?
Right. Because, you know, you go along and then suddenly there's this new thing that you haven't done before.
Right.
And that wakes you up again. And it's like, oh, I'm not in the United States.
Right. Oh, alert, alert. Now, tell us a little bit about, and we're going to talk more about this after the break. We've got you for two more segments, which is great.
Okay.
But was the history of, I know you know so much about the history of African Americans in Paris. Was that the idea behind starting Discover Paris? What was the original idea behind starting Discover Paris, which is Monique and Tom's tour and company?
Yes. It was not the original idea. The original idea was simply to help Anglophones, and primarily Americans, of course, but anyone speaking English, to visit Paris and see it reflected in their own interests. And so we were just so enamored of the city and so passionate about the city and learning just all manner of things every single day and walking and around just like almost in a daze, you know, just everywhere you turn, there's history. And history is not something that I was ever fond of as a student, ever.
Right. And it does change. It does change when you're in the middle of history, and it makes you want to inquire more. And we're going to be back to talk about history with Monique. It's particularly African Americans in Paris. This is Donnie from The Girl's Guide to Paris on the Overseas Radio Network.
Ready to learn about a new life overseas? You're at the right place. This is the Overseas Radio Network.
I can't take it anymore.
What?
This economy, it's killing me. I'd love to find a place where there are jobs, a growing economy, an opportunity to live out my dreams. Is that even possible anymore?
Sure it is.
Really? Where?
Look south, my friend. Look to Brazil.
Brazil?
Yes, it's a country on the rise. Low unemployment, a growing middle class. They need you there.
They need me? Where can I learn more?
Oh, that's easy. Tune in every Sunday afternoon from 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time to Expat Journal Brazil and learn all you need to know about living and working in one of the most dynamic countries in the world.
Expat Journal Brazil. I will be sure to listen. You know, maybe Brazil is the place for me.
Yes, it could be. It could be a move that changes your life.
Now you're talking. Sundays, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Expat Journal Brazil. I won't miss it.
Are you new to Thailand or learning the ropes? TBA Business Services is your one-stop shop for the expat businessman or woman. Whether you need a work permit, a business registration, or accounting services, TBA advises and protects you by cutting through the bureaucracy, explaining the local customs, and overcoming the language barrier. TBA Managing Director is an American businessman with years of experience in the kingdom. Save yourself time, effort, and expense by discussing your needs one-on-one. TBA also specializes in acquiring the American visa for a Thai friend, fiancé, or spouse. The TBA office is a one-minute walk from the SkyTrain. For a free consultation, come in for a chat or Skype. Visit the TBA website at www.tbabusinessservices.com or call 662-651-4364, where 66 is the country code.
You've decided that you want to move overseas for that quality of life experience you've always dreamed of, but you don't want to give up the best of back home. We agree. Things like high-speed bandwidth, safe neighborhoods where you can stroll along a shaded sidewalk, a place where you know your neighbors and you have friends close by. These are important. Grand Pacifica Beach and Golf Resort gives you the best comforts of back home paired up with the exceptional lifestyle only available south of the border. Imagine strolling along over 3 miles of secluded beach, playing a round of golf along the ocean, surfing a world-class break all to yourself, enjoying a fine meal on your balcony and toasting to another spectacular sunset. All this and more can be yours only an hour from Managua. Complete home and lot packages start under $100,000, and a nice home on the golf course is yours for the mid-2s. Come visit for a weekend and enjoy our oceanside golf course. Ride horseback on the beach, meet your future neighbors, and make some new friends. Grand Pacifica may be a place you'd like to call home.
We want to see a world where cancer is scarce. That's why we help people reduce their risk of getting it in the first place. We help them plan healthy diets, get regular exercise, and learn which tests to take. The less cancer there is, the more birthdays we celebrate. We're the American Cancer Society, the official sponsor of birthdays. Visit us at morebirthdays.com. Together, we'll stay well, get well, find cures, and fight back.
Your expatriation destination. This is OverseasRadio.com.
Welcome back. This is Donnie Bilo from The Girl's Guide to Paris on the Overseas Radio Network. If you want to call in, we are talking to Monique Wells. You can call in on 1-855-655-2121. We'd love to take some of your questions. But now we were talking about when you started Discover Paris. It's discoverparis.com, right?
It's discoverparis.net.
Net. Sorry about that. I should know that, of course. Discoverparis.net. And Monique and Tom started this. When did you guys start the company?
1999.
Ah, so you guys have been around for a while, which is impressive. And how did it turn into something that really specialized in Black history in Paris, as well as, you know, many other things that you offer?
Yes. Well, because our goal was to have our clients see Paris reflected in their own interests, when I began to learn that there was significant African-American history in Paris, and that was not something that I knew when I moved here, because that was not my focus when I moved here. I came here to work for the drug company, as I said. I learned about this history, and I said, well, you know, Tom, African-Americans are coming to Paris all the time, and they're going to want to see Paris reflected in their interests, which means that they're going to want to know about our history here. And so that's really how it started.
Right. Now, and what did you discover? Tell us a little bit about that history, because I don't think, you know, a lot of people don't know much about it.
Well, it's a very long history. We have over 200 years of history here, starting out, and I can't say definitively that this person I'm getting ready to mention is the first person ever to come. But when I talk about our 200 years of history, I start out talking about Sally Hemings, who was the slave mistress of Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson came here as a sort of ambassador for the United States to France, and that was before France even had its revolution.
Right.
And we span that history. So that was, early, late 18th century. Mm-hmm. Now, we're in the 21st century, and we have a sizable African-American community here. So we're spanning centuries here.
Right.
And we've got people like, everybody's heard of Josephine Baker, of course. I mean, I think right. She's the first person who comes to mind. But we've got all manner of writers, artists. We have people who are doing things like me, people who are teachers and filmmakers. And, we're not all entertainers and writers who have come to Paris and found and made a life here. And so I've just been studying for years the stories of
right.
all of these people.
Now, who are some of your favorites in history that really have great stories in Paris? I know you have a whole tour of Montmartre. That seems to be an important area where a lot of African Americans stayed or settled.
Yes. Now, our tour of Montmartre, we have a couple. There is one that actually goes up the hill, which is called Retracing the Steps of Langston Hughes. Langston Hughes was a poet from the Harlem Renaissance period and much after, but he became known as a Harlem Renaissance writer or poet. We do a tour of a contemporary African-American who lives in Paris today in Montmartre, and his name is Jake LaMarre, and Jake used to work at Time magazine. And left his job at Time and started writing. He wrote his first book, which was a memoir, while he was still in New York. And subsequently, he won an award that allowed him to move to Paris. And he thought he was going to be here for only a year, and he is still here today. And he's been here, just about just a year shorter than I've been here. So many, many years. And I know Jake well, and he started writing fiction. And one of his books, well, two of his books actually, are set in Paris. And so one of the walks that I do features this book and also features Jake's life because he also lives in the area where he set this book. So it's quite fascinating.
What book is that, Monique?
It's called Rendezvous 18th.
Ah.
It's been out for quite some time. And so it's all set in the 18th arrondissement, the 18th district, and which is the most diverse district in all of the city of Paris, and you've got both sides of the hill, Sacré-Cœur, for example, the big white church on the hill, that's in the 18th. You've got Barbès, which is African Paris, in the 18th. You've got Avenue Junot, which is one of the toniest, one of the most wealthy streets in all of Paris, in the 18th. You've got the Vineyard in the 18th. I mean, it's just an incredible place.
Yeah, we were just talking about the 18th with my previous guest, Carolyn Nin, who sings at the Lido every night. And it's many people's favorite area in Paris. And if you haven't seen the 18th, do it and do it with Monique, certainly. Now, tell us about some of your other tours. I'd love to have people get a sense of all the different things that you offer because I think they're really interesting and unique. Nobody else is really offering something similar.
Well, we do tours in various areas of town, and they all have a theme. For example, in the Latin Quarter, we do a tour called Black Paris After World War II, which has developed to where, I do talk more about, I talk about things other than the time after World War II, but grossly, what we're talking about is the area between the Boulevard Saint-Germain and the Mutualité Maubert area, mm-hmm. all the way over to the Luxembourg Garden and a cafe, which is called the Tournon, which is where lots of post-World War II African-Americans hung out during those years. And in between those, the starting point and the end point, we talk about all manner of things. And I do include some information about not only African-American history, but also French history and French contemporary life, because the Black presence in Paris is not just African-American. It's African, it's Caribbean, it's Indian Ocean. You know, there is a huge mix here, and people who take this tour will get a good feel for that.
I know. I want to talk also. We have a few minutes left for the before the break, and then we'll have a little bit more time with you. But you also have a four-day Afrocentric itinerary in Paris. Tell us just a 1 minute about that, if you can. We can talk more about it after the break.
Well, this is a sample itinerary, and it's something that we put out as an example of what we do when people do a self-guided itinerary. So we write out a guidebook for you. And
that's great.
The 4 days, yes. And the 4 days are basically just touching on the highlights of African American history in Paris. The first day, wherever your hotel is, we're going to take you for a walk around that area and point out the African American history there, the Black history there, not only African American. Mm-hmm. And so on day two, we've got the Left Bank, which is the tour that I just spoke about.
Right.
On day three, we take you over to the Ace, Champs-Élysées, Eiffel Tower in the seventh. And on the fourth day, we talk about the Louvre, the Tuileries Garden, and then take you over to a fashion street behind the Champs-Élysées. So that's it in a nutshell right there.
Oh, that's fabulous. Now, what also comes to mind, you mentioned the Tournon. What are some other important cafes or restaurants or you know, museums or clubs that measure as, you know, into some of your itineraries that are famous in terms of being frequented by some of the greats? Well, you know what? Let's come back and talk about that after the break, because they're giving me the sign that we've got to go back. We've got a lot more questions for Monique, and do call in if you can. This is Donnie from Girls Guide to Paris on the Overseas Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're tuned in to OverseasRadio.com, the station to help you reach your dream destination.
With Overseas Radio News, I'm Dennis Daly. Researchers say that genetic studies indicate the first humans who left Africa moved to the rest of the world through Arabia. There's always been a big question how early man migrated, finally spreading the human race to all corners of the earth. Russia's Vladimir Putin's desire to have electronic monitoring at all national election stations is meeting with skepticism from an international group. The vote checkers say cameras only show a tiny part of the electoral process. The topic is overseas banking, as Richard McLemore begins a new series of reports.
Dennis, many people find that having an offshore bank account is a necessary part of financial success, especially if a person wants to diversify. Many people see the ups and downs of the Dow, and seeing regulations getting stricter, are investigating the possibility of shoving some of their wealth into banks in other countries. Meanwhile, U.S. regulators are putting the microscope on the movement of money to other countries, largely because of the use of money laundering in carrying out the international drug trade. The big question you have to ask yourself if opening a foreign bank account might be in your future is whether or not your money will really be safer there than back in the States. More in my next report. I'm Rich McLemore.
British security agents are finalizing their plans for the Olympic Summer Games in London. Hundreds of retired policemen are being tapped to be part of security squads. High-tech devices will be used to ID visitors. Overseas Radio News is your best source when it comes to living abroad or just visiting the world to see what's out there. I'm Dennis Daly.
You've worked hard for your wealth and assets. The Nessman Group can show you how to preserve them legally. We've helped clients in over a dozen countries open offshore accounts, set up international businesses, obtain second residence and citizenship abroad, and construct suitable legal entities to achieve their wealth preservation goals. Contact the Nessman Group at 1-602-604-1524 or www.nessman.com. That's www.nessman.com.
Panama and Financial Services. Many expats around the world have learned that Panama is one of the top financial centers of the world. Banks and credit unions in Panama do not get involved in risky investments. Do you need insurances like FDIC and CDIC in Panama? Absolutely not. Panama banks and credit unions do not fail, unlike their counterparts in North America and Europe. We can send you some comparison information and answer your questions. Email us for the complete story at panamajames@gmail.com. If you don't hear back from us in 48 hours, then you must have the wrong email address. panamajames@gmail.com.
Pack your bags and explore the world with us. You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network.
Bonjour, this is Donnie from the Girls Guide to Paris on the Overseas Radio Network. We're having a lot of fun here talking to Monique Wells. We are talking important places for African Americans in history in Paris. Can you give us some other examples of places people might want to go to soak up some of that history?
Well, sure. We were talking about cafes, and if you want to focus on the Saint-Germain area, which is a huge tourist area, you've got the Deux Magots, you've got the Café de Flore, you've got the Brasserie Leap. All three of those have significant African-American history there. If you want to look at the Carrefour Vavin in Montparnasse, which is not the same as Montmartre, sometimes people confuse those. Montparnasse is south of the Saint-Germain area, even farther south than the Luxembourg Garden. You've got the famous cafes, the Dome, the Select, the Coupole, and the Rotonde, and you've got significant African-American history at three of those four cafes, the Dome, the Select, and the Coupole. And then if you want to talk about museums, well, there is a wealth of African-American history at the Louvre that people have no idea of. And there are also images of Black people, not African Americans, obviously, but images of Black people in paintings and in the area of the antiquities. There's a huge amount of Black imagery in the Louvre that we actually have a tour guide who can show you those images. That is an absolutely fascinating tour. The same is true for the Musée d'Orsay and the Picasso Museum, which unfortunately for visitors from now to 2013, Picasso Museum is closed for renovations. But yeah, there's really a significant amount of Black influence in art here. And so those are just a few of, I mean, I could just go on and on.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, where can one go to get a feeling? There's a lot of particularly North Africans, but also Africans settling in Paris from, you know, French colony type countries. Where would I go if I wanted to go to a almost like an African market in Paris? Or what would you recommend?
Well, those clearly the best place to go for that is the Chateau Rouge area in the 18th. Arrondissement, the 18th district, which is it's just north of the Barbès metro station,
right?
And there's an area there that's called Barbès, and then there's a sort of a dividing line where you have, so Barbès is really North African. You see predominantly people from Tunisia, Algeria there. And then there's a dividing line, so to speak. I mean, I can't think of the word that I'm trying to say, but across that line, you get a lot more Black African, sub-Saharan African people. But it's all part of the more or less the same neighborhood, and you can walk through there in a matter of minutes. And so the metro for the Black African area is Chateau Rouge, and there right around the corner from the Chateau Rouge Metro Station is the Marché de Jean, which is a very short market street where you can find African vendors, particularly fishmongers. And then you go down that street and then into the neighborhood, and there are all manner of little stores where you can buy African produce and soft drinks and other things like that.
Yeah, yeah, it's really like you can go and visit another world, which is a wonderful thing about Paris. There's a lot of little worlds within Paris that you can visit. What countries do you see most folks coming from?
A huge number of people from Senegal, but you also have people from Mali. You have people from the Ivory Coast. You have people from Cameroon. Those are the big four, I would say.
Right.
With regard to African nations in sub-Saharan Africa.
Right. Now, you also had on your website something about the myth of colorblind Paris. Tell us about that.
Yes. Well, the myth of a colorblind France is why so many African Americans view Paris as this sort of mythical place. And obviously, we did have a lot of people throughout the years over the past centuries coming here to live because the environment here was just infinitely better than the environment that we came from in the United States, where everything was segregation and and worse, you know.
Right.
And so people could come here and live. They could walk down the street without being bothered. They could they didn't have to defer to white people. And they were treated as equals. That was the African-American experience, and that largely came from the soldiers who fought under French command during World War I.
Mm.
World War I, African-Americans were armed, but they were not allowed to fight with white American soldiers here. And so in order to serve in battle and not serve in menial roles, the regiments were placed under French command, and they stayed in French homes, and they did everything that French soldiers did, and they were appreciated for their valor and decorated, you know, for their achievements. And it was just like, my God, we're people here.
And hello, so, right.
And when soldiers went back, they took those stories with them, and that's how the myth began. It's a myth because the French are not colorblind. They just have a different way of looking at Americans. And for them, African-American people were not black people first. They were Americans first.
Ah, that's interesting. Right.
Yes, and it's a big eye-opener for anyone who comes here and spends any kind of time here that a black person from the United States can be viewed as an American first.
Right.
It's a novel concept, and it's often quite shocking.
So, but they, do you see that there's a, it seems to me that there is some, you know, fairly obvious bigotry against the Africans that are coming.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And African Americans don't often see that because they're not often associated with those Africans.
Right. They're considered a different kind of people or something, you know, which is sort of odd. You know, we at one point, I hope to God, we get to a place where we're all just considered people. It is within our lifetimes, I'm not sure, but it's getting better, but not fast enough. It's just incredible. No.
Right.
Who now, tell us a little bit about your personal heroes. You know, you know so much about all this history. You know, who are the people that you're most passionate about who ended up in Paris?
I would say that I am most passionate about people who most people don't know about, and I'm even having difficulty finding out about, and those people are the African-American women. When
right.
you read about African-American history, you are reading about men for the most
right.
part. And there were many women here, but their stories are not told. And when you are able to find the story and really delve into what these women accomplished here, I mean, it's phenomenal. And our stories, it's the story of women in general. You know, whenever there's something new, it seems like people always pay attention to the men first and the women are an afterthought. Well, it's the same here. And so I'm passionate about the stories of women. And there are many women, and Josephine Baker is one who everyone knows, and she had an incredible life. But there many other women whose stories are not known. And so that's who I would say I'm most passionate about. And women all over the world are coming to Paris, and they're doing fantastic things, and African-American women are no exception.
That's fabulous. I love that. Makes me feel very excited. Now, tell us, for anyone who's thinking about moving to Paris or France, what advice do you have for someone who wants to follow in your footsteps?
I have a lot of advice. We don't have enough time for me to give you all the advice I have.
We'll have you back on for sure.
Good. The first thing I would say is that you need to be clear on whether or not you're coming here to establish a life or whether you're coming here just to hang out for a few months or maybe a year. If you're coming to establish a life, you've got to have a lot different viewpoint, and you've got to make different preparations than if you're just coming here to be a sort of tourist who is living here for an extended period of time. It is very, very hard to live here. If you're planning to live here for many years, it's something that you really, really need to evaluate very carefully. You need to have French language skills. Do not let anybody tell you that you don't.
Right.
Okay. It's not to say that you can't come and start out without them or with poor language skills, but you have got to make a commitment that you are going to learn to speak French.
Thank you so much, Monique. I really appreciate you coming on, and we will have you back. Absolutely. And check out discoverparis.net. This is Donnie with Girls Guide to Paris on the Overseas Radio Network.
Is a beautiful place, so listen up. The Overseas Radio Network.
Are you a successful executive who wants to advance your international career? At Zest and Zen Global Executive Coaching, we understand your needs and use simple coaching strategies to bring you to the next level. With Zest and Zen Executive Coaching, you multiply your chances of having a true international career and thrive globally. We understand the challenges leaders face when leading and living abroad. Zest and Zen Executive Coaching helps you assess your current situation and helps you build effective strategies to become a better and more influential leader. In today's highly complex and fast-paced global economy, great leaders excel at influencing others and dealing with new challenges every day. Zest and Zen Executive Coaching gives you the tools that make you thrive in a global world. What makes you successful locally and today is not enough for becoming a true global leader of the future. Visit zestandzen.com, ZESTANDZEN.com, to find out how we can help you reach your goals. Zest and Zen Executive Coaching helps you understand cultural differences that impact business globally. Zest and Zen Executive Coaching, inspiring global minds to create their futures. Visit zestandzen.com, ZESTANDZEN.com.
Establish your business in one of the most extraordinary cities in the world. Connect to a market of over 1.8 billion people from Dubai. Over 1,400 companies from around the world have made Dubai Airport Free Zone their Middle East and Africa headquarters. Dubai Airport Free Zone was rated one of the top free zones in the world. Let us help you set up your operations at Dubai Airport Free Zone and expand your market and sales in Asia and Africa. Call us at 214-537-9665 or send us an email at info@dafz-usa.com. That's info@dafz-usa.com.
Since 1999, Samui Institute of Thai Culinary Arts has been sharing the secrets of Thai cooking with visitors from all over the world. Sitka's Thai cooking classes have been seen on BBC World TV and recommended by Lonely Planet, The Rough Guide, and many other guidebooks and websites. It's all hands-on at Sitka every step of the way. Prepare and cook each dish yourself under the watchful eyes of our expert instructors. There's always plenty to eat when class is over, so be sure to invite a friend to share. If you want to take your Thai cooking to a professional level, do what chefs and keen amateurs from over 30 countries have done. Join us for one of our intensive programs. Or come to learn how to make beautiful and decorative fruit and vegetable carvings and garnishes the Thai way. Sitka is just off Chowang Beach Road in Soi Koli Bri near the Centara Beach Resort.
For more information, log online to sitka.net. That's SITCA.net.
A world with less cancer is much more than a dream to us. We work to make it real every single day. We take cancer patients and their loved ones by the hand. We answer their questions, give them guidance, hope, and the chance to celebrate more birthdays. We're the American Cancer Society, the official sponsor of birthdays. Visit us at cancer.org or call us at 800-227-2345.
Live call-in shows and hosts from your favorite countries. This is the Overseas Radio Network.
Welcome back. This is Donnie on the Overseas Radio Network with the Girl's Guide to Paris. We've discovered a lot today about Paris. We've talked about African-American history in Paris and how to learn more about it at discoverparis.net. And we've talked to Carolyn Nin, who's a fantastic French chanson singer, singing now at the Lido. But I wanted to end on a culinary note. I was planning a dinner party with some friends, and we were talking about Valentine's Day, and it only seems fitting to talk about romantic restaurants in Paris. You know, it's probably time to think about reserving, even though we're over 2 weeks away. Here are some of my favorites and my suggestions. Le Grand Vefour, V-E-F-O-U-R, and I will post these on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Girls Guide to Paris. Le Grand Vefour is one of the oldest, restaurants in Paris. It's, from back in the 1700s. It was opened on the Palais Royal, which is a beautiful, beautiful place in Paris, the Palais Royal. Napoleon and Josephine dined there. It is also one of the most expensive restaurants in town. Jean Cocteau ate there, but you can eat there now, for 282 euros per person for the tasting menu. Well, of course, you can eat cheaper than that. That's the worst case scenario. But once you add wine on, and oof, it's expensive. So that's the over-the-top Valentine's Day dinner. There's another place that's very hot right now called Frenchie. It's not on anybody's most romantic list, but I put it on mine because it's intimate. It's really exceptional, innovative French modern food. It's quite difficult to get in, so I would start trying now. You may have to plan a month out. So if you can't get in now, you know, come do it a month from now. But I went there recently, and after trying to get in also for quite a while, and it was absolutely excellent. Le Grand Colbert was made famous in Diane Keaton's film Something's Gotta Give, where she was always ordering the chicken. But it's a classic bistro in the Passage Colbert. You can start first at Willie's Wine Bar, which is across the street, have a glass of champagne, and then come over. I would not say this is a restaurant that's known for its food in the way that Frenchie is. It's much more classic. You have things like sole meuniere on the menu, but it's, you know, it's that really, I know I'm in Paris bistro kind of feeling. And very, very charming. La Perouse is an interesting place. From the 17th century, it had private salons where men would take their mistresses. So they would be, you know, eating in sort of a private, tiny little private room with mirrored walls. Apparently, when the ladies would get gifts from their paramour, like diamonds, they'd scratch them on the mirrored walls to see if they were real. So that place has got a lot of history. Good food, not, you know, probably the number one spot for food, but I think it would be very romantic for clandestine romantic for Valentine's Day. Victor Hugo was a fan. It's in the 6th arrondissement. Another place, and a place that figures into my history with Paris, is Le Couchou. Now, it's a bit touristy now, but it's a place that I went I think on my first visit to Paris when I was 16 years old, which I hate to mention how long that was ago. Very, very long time. And then I found it again when I went back with my husband, like in 1988. And we've been going off and on ever since. It's in the fifth. It's near the Sorbonne. And it is candles on all the tables. And it's kind of in a cave-like setting, if you will. There's these different rooms and, you know, it's quite low and they're just like little jewel box rooms. I remember that was the first place I ever had what they call the salad couscous, but it's the one with the poached eggs and lardons, so like breakfast on a salad. That was, you know, quite a thing for me. And it really is one of the great salads of all time. Of course, many people know that. You can get that in the U.S. It's nothing exceptional now, but it was for me when I was 16. Again, it's just a beautiful place. The food is good. It's not amazing. It is romantic. It is touristy, but, it is an exceptional setting. Le Pré Catalan is, much more well known for its food, a three Michelin starred restaurant in the Bois de Boulogne, the large park, in the western part of Paris. You can get away, much less expensive if you go for lunch and, you know, nothing like a little romantic lunch. But it is very, very elegant, and beautiful. So that's another possibility. If you are, you know, maybe a little bit more into something more rustic and you don't want to do over the top fancy, try, Robert and Louise. That's in the Marais. And they do steaks, on the open fire grill. So it's got, you know, wooden tables, red check tablecloths, that kind of look, boisterous, loud, friendly, excellent steaks, basic, clean, wonderful, well-done food. And anything that you put on that grill on the open fire has got that real smoky taste. And if it's duck on the grill, it's scrumptious. And it's also a good place to go with kids because it's loud. So it's not the quiet romantic. It's more the, you know, rustic, let's have a big steak kind of romance, which is perfect for certain people. Now, another pick that may not come to everybody's mind first would be Le Dôme. Monique mentioned that in the last segment. Le Dôme is very famous historical restaurant in Montparnasse, on Boulevard Montparnasse, famous for their fish and their oysters. They've got, you know, the guy outside shucking the oysters and the clams. They don't do clams as much in Paris, but oysters and the whole big fruit de mer, you know, the fish platters. But it's actually a place where I learned that if you just put a sprinkle of pepper, according to one of the waiters there, on your oysters, that's all you need. And boy, when an oyster is French and fresh, as it is at Le Dôme, that is all you need. They really have fantastic oysters, as do a number of other places. But that's a romantic place. They've got these red booths. They've got photos of old patrons such as Picasso and others. So I think one could definitely have a very romantic experience there. Now, I also like Le Timbre. It's called you may say timbre, if you were going to say it without the French accent. And it means postage stamp. That's the word for postage stamp. So it's a tiny little place, tiny as a postage stamp. It's on David Leibovitz's favorites list. And if you don't know him, he's one of the top food bloggers in Paris and an ex-pastry chef at Chez Panisse in California. But it's a darling place and great food in the Vavin area of the 6th, so near Montparnasse. Another place I like, also in the more rustic arena, is L'Ambassade d'Auvergne. I will post these up on my Facebook page as well over the week, just because it's a lot to post. L'Ambassade d'Auvergne has food from the region that we spoke about last week, the Aveyron and the Auvergne. It is sort of the Midwest of France. That's where the Aubrac beef is grown. It's a very homey, rustic, wooden kind of flavor in there. They have aligot, which is what we talked about last week with rain. It's the mashed potatoes with the, I think it's the Cantal cheese or the Comte cheese, where it's basically gooey, cheesy mashed potatoes, which is one of the most divine things on the planet. They make their own digestifs in the region, the Auvergne region, and they have them there. So there's a big crock of rillette, which is usually pork rillette that you, it's like kind of a country pate that you smear on bread, big rustic pieces of bread, and they'll have a little thing of pickles as well. They just throw that on the table as you're trying to decide what to eat. So it's, you know, that's hearty food, but it is a wonderful place, very friendly, convivial. Hotel Particulier Montmartre is in Montmartre, and it's beautiful. It's particularly the garden. It's a hotel restaurant, but it's very boudoir and beautiful. The Maison du Amérique Latin is another place that's really more for the garden, so probably better to go in the summer. And that's sort of a place that's open to the public. Very few people know about it. The crystal room in the Baccarat Museum, which was designed by Philippe Starck, is the place to take your loved one if they love Philippe Starck and modern architecture. It's all black and clear crystal chandeliers and mirrors and, you know, a very elegant, sexy, over-the-top, you know, space. And quite good food as well. Another place, and one of our partners, it's called Flute. It's in the 17th arrondissement, and it's, instead of having a big meal, why not just go to Flute? They have something like 22 champagnes by the glass, including many rosés, which I think rosé champagne on Valentine's Day, of course, that's a must. And then you can have dessert back in your hotel room, in bed, perhaps. So those are my picks, and there's many of them. I will try and post them, as I said, on my Facebook page. I'm excited. Next week we have Deborah Kaiser from Ritual Paris. She opened a business. We're going to talk about opening businesses in France and what that's like. And we're going to have Tristan de la Presley. She's a hotel expert and has lived in New York and Paris. Thank you so much for listening this week, and thank you so much to both of my guests. I can't wait to talk to you about France again next week. This is Donnie from Girls Guide to Paris. Au revoir from the Overseas Radio Network.
Pack your bags and explore the world with us. You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network.